In the holy name of Jesus, amen. From the Old Testament reading, God promises that his word will always accomplish its purpose. As rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth, providing seed and bread, the rain doesn't return to the heavens in vain. It won't return empty or void. The rains have a purpose: to water the earth, to cause growth, to nourish vegetation, so that living things on earth don't die, but flourish. So it is with God's word. God sends his word from heaven to nourish the hearts of those who hear it. And his word always accomplishes its purposes. The Lord causes growth for those who hear the word of God, because his word waters hearts that thirst for righteousness. And that's why we gather each Sunday to hear God's word. That's why we gather to confess our sins and hear our Lord's absolving word. That's why we gather around the reading of the Holy Scriptures, so that Christ may water our souls. That's why we listen to pastors preach, so that we know where we should grow for today. That's why making church, Sunday school devotions, and prayer a habit is so beneficial for the Christian. Without the rain from heaven, the ground shrivels up and hardens. And when the rains do come, the water sort of puddles on the top and runs away, never really penetrating the hardness of the soil. Without water, no vegetation can take deep root, and it slowly rots away. The same is true for those who've hardened their heart to hearing the word of God. It's like the water that puddles up and just runs away. In this analogy, the word of God is never really given a chance to sink into the depths of one's heart, because it has been so long since it received the nourishment it needed. And so going without hearing the word of God for long periods of time makes our souls hardened wastelands to the true life-giving water which comes from God. The hardness of one's heart causes the word of God to remain on the surface, never quite penetrating through the ear and into one's heart, because perhaps they don't like what God has to say, because it requires growth and change. And we prefer to stay just the way we are. For the water to sink in, the hard soil of our hearts may require some tilling, loosening up the soil of our souls so that life-giving waters may actually benefit us. It's God's law is what tills and loosens up the soil of our hearts. Hearing our sins preached to us can cause one of two reactions. First, we can either harden our hearts, not wanting to go through the painful process of tilling the dense soil of the heart. And those that do this are those who are unrepentant of their sins, who are just fine to keep rebelling against God's law, and harden their hearts as a safeguard against allowing God to change them. And thus there's a rejection of God's word, which includes both law and gospel. Or a second reaction, we can return to the Lord our God, for he is gracious and merciful, abounding in steadfast love. We can repent of our sins and turn to God, that he may till the hardness of our hearts, and that he may provide the life-giving word of God that causes us to grow for his purposes. The parable, the sower shows these different types of soil. It shows that the devil is at work to take away the word of God from the hearts of those that hear it. It shows that some may hear the word of God and joyfully receive it, to only have shallow roots and wither away in the time of true testing and temptation. It shows that some hear the word of God, but would rather live out the passions and pleasures of life, choking out any opportunity for the word of God to truly sink into a hardened heart and change it. So if the word of God always accomplishes its purposes, like the Old Testament's lesson promises, why do we reject it? Why do some harden their hearts to it? Is that truly why God sends the word? Well, no. God is certainly patient towards us in our sins because of his Son. But the Lord wishes we not perish, but that we should all reach repentance. God sends his word to break the hardness of our hearts, to till our hearts, to break down the idols that we have that displease God. Our epistle lesson from Hebrews describes the word of God as something that's living and active. It's not dead. It's not stagnant. The word of God works just as effectively for us in our time and culture as it did for St. Paul or even Jesus himself. What is that word? What is it that the living word of God does? The word of God pierces to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, in discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The word of God is like a sword that pierces and divides. It kills our sinful nature, but gives life to the new man we are in Christ. If you're unaware, being pierced by a sword would hurt. Likewise, sometimes hearing the word of God hurts, because it's not what we want to hear. It may be what we need to hear. But we'd rather be affirmed in our own sins or hear about God's goodness in the gospel. However, the gospel is useless if we never knew that we needed saving from our sins. The old Adam that lives in us doesn't want to hear of our sinfulness, because that requires change. That requires pain. Having God till your heart is a bit painful and probably shameful. That requires suffering for the sake of the truth of God's word. The old man wants to hear the gospel without hearing the law, and that's the easy path leading to spiritual destruction. It's the path of least resistance. All we have to do is follow our hearts and hardening it to anything outside of us that requires us to change. But the path that leads to life is hard, because it means acknowledging our sins. And all our sins are on display with Jesus on the cross. Our sins deserve that. Death. Rejection from the Father. And the mock and scorn of all our peers. Yet it is God himself who substituted himself for you, that you may never experience a lack of God's mercy. We all have sins that we try to bury into the depths of our hearts because we're ashamed of them. But sometimes we bury them so deep underneath the hardness of our hearts. Bury them so deep that no one may find them or expose them. Sometimes we bury them so deep underneath our hard hearts so that the word of God can't get to them. And just as water puddles on the top of hard soil, so does the word of God with this heart. This heart doesn't want God to see its sins for fear that God may change them. At one time or another, we've all had sins like this. It may be that we fear the change that happens when God gets a hold of our sins. It may be that we want God to change some part of us, but not all of us. That we don't want God to obliterate our sins with his forgiving flood and water us with the true word of God. Because we know that means growth and change. So in that way, the word of God may grow for a while, like the seed among the weeds and thorns. But ultimately, faith chokes and dies because of the worldly cares, riches, and pleasures. We know and feel this in our hearts at times. We each have different struggles. Some crosses are easier to bear than others. But God's word accomplishes its purposes. It kills the sinner and enlivens the saint. Repenting of our sins, we're like plants who seek out the water, growing our roots deeper and deeper into the ground because we crave God's life-giving water. And as a result, we submit our lives to God, allowing him to change and mold our hearts and our minds. We are humbled and are strengthened to deal with the pain that comes with the tilling. And it's as Jesus himself taught, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So you must die to yourself. Lose your life for the sake of Christ. For only then shall your life be saved, bearing much fruit in love towards God and neighbor. As we all know with agriculture, a plant doesn't look nearly the same at the end of the growing season as it did in the beginning. When I grow my green beans in the garden in the spring, the small little seed changes and grows into something huge, traveling up my trellis each day, growing and getting better and bigger, even producing green beans sometimes. So it is with the Christian life. Being alive in Christ means change, renewal, and growth. It means looking different today than you did yesterday. Where do you receive the nourishment for this kind of growth? Well, by being fed by the Word of God, fed by the promises given in the Lord's Supper, watered by the promises given in your baptism, so that the old sinful man in you may die, and that just as Christ has risen from the dead, so you too may live a new life. If anyone thirsts for the rain which comes from the heavens, which is the word of God, come to Christ and drink of him. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're in the right place. Eat the flesh of the one whose death springs to life. Drink the blood shed from the word of God made flesh. Receive it with joy and be led forth in peace. For heaven and earth rejoice that the word of God has accomplished the intentions of the Father. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.